Edgar said. Yeah, I said. Come back in a month and maybe it'll have moved. No, Kaweah said. Take a look at this. There was a white metal box set on our side of the wall. I hadn't noticed it before. He flipped open a lid on the box and removed something like a walkie-talkie, a control pad with an aerial and a matrix of controls set into it. You're not serious, are you? Kaweah stood with his legs slightly apart, the control unit in one hand. With his other hand he jabbed hesitantly at the matrix of buttons, as if not quite certain of the sequence he should be entering. But whatever he did had some effect. I heard the unmistakable dry slithering of the uncoiling snake below us. It was a sound like a sheet of tarpaulin being dragged over concrete. What's happening? Have a guess. He was enjoying himself, leaning over the edge and watching the creature emerge from its hideaway. The hamadryad might well have been a juvenile, but it was still as large as any I wanted to be this close to. The snake-like body was 12 meters long, as thick as my torso for most of that length. It moved like a snake, of course. There was really only one way for a long, limbless predator to move, especially one that weighed more than a ton. The body was textureless, almost bloodlessly pale, for the creature was adjusting its skin coloration to match the white walls of the chamber. They had no predators, but they were masters of ambush. The head was eyeless. No one was exactly sure how the snakes managed that trick of camouflaging themselves when they were blind. But there must have been optical organs distributed around the skin, purely to serve the coloration function, and not wired into the higher nervous system at all. Not that they were truly blind either, for the hamadryad did have a set of eyes, with remarkable acuity, spaced apart for binocular vision. But the eyes were set inside the upper roof of its jaw, analogous to the heat sensors in the mouth of a venomous snake. It was only when the animal opened its mouth to strike that it saw anything of the world. By then a host of other senses, infrared and smell mainly, would have ensured that it had locked on to likely prey. The jaw-mounted eyes were only there to guide the final moments of the attack. It sounded deeply alien, but I had heard of a mutation in frogs which caused the eyes to grow inside the mouth, with no serious impact on the frog's well-being. It was also the case that terrestrial snakes functioned almost as well blind as sighted. Now it stopped. It had emerged fully from the alcove, lightly coiled around itself. Well, I said, that's a nice trick. Are you going to tell me how it's done? Mind control, Kaweah said. Dr. Vicuna and I drugged it and did a little neural experimentation. The ghoul's been here again. Vicuna was the resident veterinarian. He was also an ex-interrogation specialist with a past that was rumored to harbor a number of war crimes involving medical experiments on prisoners. The ghoul is an expert in methods of neural regimentation. It was Vicuna who mapped the major control nodes of the Hamadryad's rather rudimentary central nervous system. Vicuna who developed the simple electrical stimulation implants, which we emplaced at strategic positions throughout what I rather charitably referred to as the creature's brain. He told me they had experimented with these implants until they could coax a simple series of behavior patterns out of the snake. There was nothing too subtle about it either. The snake's behavior patterns were simple to begin with. A hamadryad, no matter how large it grew, was basically a hunting machine with a few quite simple sub-routines. It was the same with the crocodiles, until we put them on ice. They were dangerous, but easy to work with once you understood how their minds worked.